Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To our lowest price, visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. Starting in the NFL, Week 2 kicked off with Green Bay beating Washington by a final of 27-18. Week 2 continues on Sunday with the Dolphins hosting the Patriots. Over to the Canes, who will welcome in USF tomorrow in a top 20 matchup. Kickoff is at 4:30 from Hard Rock, and the game can be heard right here on 104.3 WQAM with our countdown to kickoff at noon. And to the Marlins, who shut out the Nationals 5-0 to split the four-game series. Next up, Miami will host Detroit for a three-game series beginning tonight with the first pitch at 7:10 from Lone Depot Park. The Joe Rose Show continues now.
Little taste of some of these big guys coming out, hitting them. Like, all right, you think you're going to run around our guy? How about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
Ayuk inside, touchdown. Samuel leading the way. Ayuk comes inside of him.
All right, welcome back for the 9 o'clock. I get a little excited for the 9 o'clock hour. I can't help it. Friday, 9 o'clock hour, maybe a little tennis game going. And I get excited to watch all these three or four games on Saturday. I'm kind of excited to see, including that game tomorrow at 4:30 at Hard Rock Stadium. I always love to see what the Canes, you know, I've seen, it's nothing against Mario. I've seen the Canes against different teams, through, and I know this completely different. It's completely different makeup.
It's very different.
But I can't get it completely out of my mind.
So DBJ was right. Everything that he said, I was on that podcast, the Locked On Canes podcast with Dono yesterday. We were going back and forth about this game tomorrow. And the reality is the Gators should have won that game by two touchdowns. They just should have, right? And Miami will not make those same mistakes. I truly believe that, right? And the other thing that Don said, and we talked about
such
this,
a bad loss up there.
God. Yeah, it's a terrible loss, but they're a bad program. And it is what it is. Then they're going to get beat up this weekend again.
Come on,
despite what Jamie
program?
May think.
But you, this did one of those Gator people take some of your lunch money as a kid? Did some kid that went to
no,
Florida
the Bulls
school?
Took their lunch money last okay. week. That's all. Right. That's all I saw.
Go ahead.
Bad program's crazy.
Why don't listen, Jamie? What?
Hopefully, you guys will find a new coach in the offseason. But if they can stop Byron Brown from running the football, that will be the difference in this game.
You're not right? worried about his throwing?
No, I'm not worried about him throwing the ball. Joe, the only time they really hurt him through the air was that ball that he lobbed up, you know.
That's what he does.
It's a double coverage.
And his guys make adjustment, and the safety comes over late, and the other guy falls down. He catches it and goes, oh, everybody's on the ground.
I know. But realistically, like, he's not going to sit in the pocket and pick you apart. But if he is able to be mobile, he's able to run, it'll be a long day for Miami without question. And they run that very, very fast offense, that up-tempo thing where they just run right up to the line and snap the ball each time, which can be good. It can be bad. Like, you're going to stop them. That USF defense has played a lot of snaps over the first two weeks of this season against good competition.
All right.
So we'll see how well they hold up. But, again, if you can stop Byron Brown, they're going to have a very tough time scoring.
Okay. All right. There you have it.
I told Dono 28-13 was my prediction.
That didn't cover the spread, did it?
It did not. No, Dono didn't have him covered either. He had him winning by a couple touchdowns, I think is what he said, but he did not have him covering. That's a big number, that spread.
So we've got that, and then Sunday we got some more great games going on, and of course the one that I care about the most is a 1 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. And the Dolphins taking on the Patriots. By the way, you know another real weird one? This Terrell Williams, their defense coordinator, has got health problems. He's had to leave a few times. He had to leave again. They don't know if he's going to be back for this game or not. So weird. Mm-hmm. So I got another guy filling in for a guy who will be calling the plays and deciding when to blitz and when to hold up. But you,
you calling this a must win? Are you on board with that at least? Yeah. I know it's early in the season. I thought like it's early in the season, guy, but.
No, you look at the schedule. They need to win this game. It's a home game. They got to win this game. And then, listen, yeah, because the next one, in a few days later, flying up to Buffalo, is a tough one.
You don't say.
You saw what they did. And they kind of didn't look great to start the game. You're going, wow, man, they don't have any talent. Next thing you know, you come back with a huge fourth quarter. And look like the Buffalo Bills last year, just like that. So
isn't it crazy what a quarterback like that, what they can make your team look
hey,
like.
Hey, man, there is no question about it. And we don't have that guy on either side, the Baltimore guy or the Buffalo guy, and there's nothing to be debated about it. We don't have that guy. We don't have him. We just hope our guy can take care of the ball and run this offense, and we'll see what we can get out of it and go from there. But tell you what, we can talk about all the guys that need to play better, and there's a whole bunch of guys, but it starts with Lefty at quarterback. His ass needs to play a lot better than he did. And there's no secret there. He needs to. Watching video game, whatever. He needs to play better tomorrow. Starts with him. Franchise quarterback getting paid franchise money. Listen, the game's about the quarterback. Game is about the quarterback. The old days of being balanced and having a running game and this mix in the run, the pass, and you got to be able, the way the game is set up now, you got to be able to throw it. You got to be able to throw it. And they went out a couple years ago, well, last year. How long has it been now? The new contracts for the two wide receivers. We're paying those guys to be 1A and 1B.
Yeah, it was before last season, I think, right? So, I got to tell you, though, man, they're going to be under pressure, right? I mean, the New England, I with any team that plays the Dolphins at this point, just going to blitz the hell out of them, right?
Well, they blitzed a lot in this last game, and Geno Smith.
That's the game plan, isn't it?
Geno Smith they're watching the tapes, and Geno Smith completed 9 passes over 20 yards. 9 passes over 20 yards. Now, some of them weren't down the field 20, mm-hmm. but they were catch and run, which, man, it pretty loose back there in the coverage.
But they don't seem to do very well when teams blitz. And he seems like Xavier Howard was on to something a little bit there, right? Like there's a little bit of panic.
Well, they're going to copy a lot of what Sweet Lou did last week. There's no question about it. They will definitely run a lot of that same look, same style, and probably fake a couple blitzes going to zone coverage. We saw one of those and that got intercepted because Tua didn't see it. Hey, man, I expect they're going to play. He's right. They can't play any better. I think they play well enough to win. The question is, how well will they play? Because they need to step it up because you are jumping from the Colts, the Patriots, and then you're taking about 6 steps up the ladder when you get ready to play the Buffalo Bills up in Buffalo in that thing. And by the way, we'll see what happens to them Sunday going to New York to take on the Jets. So, got a lot of stuff, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun weekend to watch and see, and that's why we watch the games, because you just never know, whether it's good or bad, how your team's going to play and other teams. And we saw Green Bay, and they looked just like everybody thought they'd look last night. They look good, and by the way, they look as good on one side of the football as they do the other. And so they're now off to a 2-0 start, and they've taken down Washington and Detroit. Pretty good start for their season, what they've been able to win out of the gates here and getting off to a really, really good start. The other thing is, man, Drake May got sacked 4 times and a lot of pressures last week. We gotta get the 4+ sacks. We got to get a lot of pressures. Usually with a lot of pressures comes a lot of sacks, and this would be a good one for all the pass rushers on the outside to get healthy after basically getting blocked pretty well, except for one by Bradley Chubb early in the game. And outside of that, Daniel Jones was standing back there, looked like he had a lot of time to throw the football. So we'll see. I'm curious about game plan, how much you change game plan. And yes, the one thing that is a little bit of a concern is right guard and right tackle are new starters. They were backups, and both your right guard and your right tackle are out for this game, and I'm sure New England's going to try to attack that as well. try to get after that the best they can, collapse some pressure. Anyway, hey, enough of that. We got Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk going to join us when we come back, so stay with us for that. But before we do, I want to tell you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. I love talking about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage because mortgage is exactly what he's all about, getting you a mortgage quickly with the best rates in the business, but doing it quickly. It's about great service. Great service, getting it done. Fixed rates in the fives right now. First-time home buyers, he's got some great programs for you. Self-employed and been declined by the banks. He's got a really, really good program for you. Listen, he's been doing this for more than 30 years. He works on Saturday and on Sunday to help. Again, this program for seniors is super popular right now. You can convert your home equity into money and do it quickly with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. So you're sitting there with your home paid off. You're 62 or older. You've got your home paid off. It's been paid off for a long time, and you're sitting there, the value going up. You got all this money in the home, and you could really use it right now. You might want to call Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, one of the many things he does and does very well. Matter of fact, you can always find out more by just going to Google reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews, to find out what people are saying about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. They start with, "This man truly has no life. He is always working." 7 days a week, call or text him, 561-441-2730, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, let's go right to him. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, you want to guess what it's been like here this week? You want any idea on what it's been like for the fan base and this team after the way they played in week one? Any idea?
Are we counting the days until the Florida Panthers start – is that what we're doing?
Going for their third championship? No, we're not quite there yet. No, we're not there. But everybody wants to know here. Mike, how do you think they bounce back against this New England Patriots team? He's right about one thing. They can't play any worse than this, what Mike said.
He said it can't get worse. And he should talk to Joe Philbin about whether or not it can get worse, because Philbin lasted four games in 2015. And it feels like it's on that track. I love Mike McDaniel, but, man, I want to see a little more fire from him. I want to see something more than that flatline, chill demeanor after they get their asses kicked. There needs to be something from the coach that tells the world this is not acceptable and it will not continue. And initially I was troubled by the fact that there was a players-only meeting after only one game. Michael talked this through within the past hour on PFT Live, and Holly made a good point. With all of the outside noise and all of the different avenues for getting information, social media and whatnot, it is possible – that you could have had players after that game who just decide, you know what, I get paid, I'm going to collect my check, I'll worry about finding a non-dysfunctional team next year, I just want to get through this season, forget about this team, I'll focus on me. And it's good that they made sure everybody's on the same page. The problem is, weren't they on the same page going into week one? They'd been 1-0 every year that McDaniel had been the head coach. And to come out like that, to come out and get embarrassed on the road against a team that, I don't know how good. Maybe the Colts are going to be a juggernaut this year, and maybe anyone would have been blown out in the first game of the season. I find that hard to believe that the Colts that quickly become a dominant team. This told me more about the Dolphins, and the wheels are quickly coming off for this team. And this is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Patriots to come to town, where the Dolphins have beaten them 7 of 8 times in Miami. But, man, if they lose this one.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
You know it's coming up Thursday night, right, at Buffalo to follow. So, yeah, this one has got some serious. Hey, I want to ask you another one tied to this. The NFL investigation with domestic violence, it's obviously going on for Tyreek Hill. How long do those things take? Is this thing that goes all year, or is this just going to be hanging around, or what are your thoughts?
Well, there's not a whole lot of transparency from the NFL or consistency when it comes to domestic violence investigations, personal conduct policy review. And this was all sparked by allegations contained in court filings in the ongoing divorce case between Tyreek Hill and his estranged wife. The league will look into it. There were 8 incidents that she cited. The first question is, will she cooperate? The league has no subpoena power. It can't force anyone who isn't employed by a team or by the league office to cooperate. So if she says, I'm not talking to you, this goes nowhere.
That's it, right.
If she does, and the league believes her and talks to Tyreek and doesn't believe him, he's got a problem. And then what would happen is the league would propose a punishment. They would try to negotiate an agreed suspension if it rises to that level. And all it takes is one proven incident at a low standard, probable cause, more likely than not, not even more likely than not. It's a low standard for the NFL to conclude that a guy is guilty of what he was accused of. That's when it goes to Judge Sue L. Robinson. She has a hearing. There are appeal rights. This could take some time to resolve, but it's going to hang over his head the entire time until it is resolved. But it all starts with whether or not she is willing to cooperate with the league. But if she is, and if she is interviewed, and if she can provide a compelling factual account that bolsters the claims that were made in court documents that were signed off on by her lawyers, he does have a problem. And the Dolphins have a problem, especially as it relates to the potential for trading him if and when the wheels come off. Because I was saying a week ago, he's going to be the Devontae Adams of the 2025 season if the Dolphins find themselves not contending, because he's not going to be there next year. Let's get what we can. We get a third-round pick, a second-round pick, whatever. Let's get something and move on. That is going to be harder to do with this unresolved personal conduct policy issue.
Yeah, this thing could be hanging around. Meanwhile, he's outside and 4 catches for 40 yards, and his sidekick had 4 for 30 yards. That thing's got to get rolling. I was just curious, what do you think of Tua? Some are blaming the offensive line. It's not Tua's fault. I thought Tua played terrible.
Well, when a guy who used to be on the team in Xavien Howard says after the game that we knew that the way you play Tua is you take away his first read and he goes into panic mode, that's not just based on film study. That's based on Xavien Howard spending time with the Dolphins and seeing what happens with Tua. So, you know, when the offense runs as it's designed, when the plays are working as they're designed, it's fine. The difference between the good quarterbacks and the great quarterbacks, Joe, the great quarterbacks will make something happen on the fly when the play that's called and designed isn't there. And Tua, you know, falls into that category with Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins and other quarterbacks who don't have the overall skill set like a Mahomes, like a Josh Allen, like a Lamar Jackson, like a Joe Burrow to improvise and to get out of once the play started and we realize, this play's going nowhere. We got to make something else good happen. That didn't happen on Sunday. And Xavien Howard's experience is that's the key. You take away read number one and the play goes sideways. That's not good for Tua. And there's going to be a lot of questions that emerge over whether or not $53.1 million was the right number. I go back to the conversations we had when Tua was coming up on his fifth-year option, and they're talking about giving him a long-term contract, and that number comes up. It's like, well, was anybody else going to pay him that? If he was a free agent, was anybody getting him $53 million a year? And look, that's not an anti-Tua take. That's a reflection of where he fits in the overall quarterback hierarchy. There's too many quarterbacks who aren't among the best quarterbacks in the league who are paid as if they are. Whether it's Tua, whether it's Goff, and there are others who fall into that category. And if they're not earning that money once they've gotten it, the team's got a problem because you got a huge cash obligation, right, a huge cap obligation that is going to affect your team. And look, if they clean house and they start fresh after the season, they're still financially committed to Tua for one more year. Even if they don't have to play him, they have to pay him. That's going to be an anchor that makes that job less attractive. That's the thing to remember. If Stephen Ross is trying to hire a new coach after this season, and if you want a coach who has options, one of the negatives for going to Miami is I got a quarterback I don't really want, and I'm stuck with him financially for at least one year.
By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, never disappoints when Josh and Lamar, I mean, seriously, and you're going, wow, I know it looks great on paper. And then they play, and you're like, holy crap, it's everything it was supposed to be. It's like you said, when things break down, Josh and Lamar make plays, keep things alive, and supporting cast, unbelievable comeback for the Bills. That one's going to be hard to beat anytime this year with all the great matchups we have.
Well, and to have a week one game that will resonate into January, because if all things are equal when the dust settles, that means that the Ravens will have to go back to Buffalo at some point in the year that they're closing out the stadium they've played in for 50-plus seasons. And there's this extra emotion, there's extra urgency, there's extra intensity. And we've got these two teams that are a level below the Chiefs, at least historically. Who knows if they've closed the gap or if the Chiefs have regressed, but advantage Buffalo that they were able to turn that loss into a win, because that win in the standings, when we are 17 weeks from now figuring out the playoff tree, that's going to help the Buffalo Bills. And let me add one thing after we watched Micah Parsons last night and what he's been able to do already for the Green Bay Packers. I am astounded, Joe. Dan Glazer reported this over the weekend. The Cowboys wanted to trade Parsons to an AFC team, and they found no takers. How in the hell were the Bills and the Ravens not at the front of the line? If the Ravens had Micah Parsons last Sunday night, I don't think Josh Allen accomplishes that comeback, because he's got everything accelerated because Micah Parsons is blasting through the line and in his face. So it was a miss by every team in the AFC that says it wants to get to the Super Bowl to not take advantage of an opportunity to get a guy who could have made the difference, because it already looks like he's going to make a big difference for Green Bay.
Yeah. I agree. Watching that game last night, you know what he does? It's so funny. I had a bunch of stuff to ask you. He gets blocked for a second. You go, hey, that tackle's in good position. And he gets off the guy and gets a pressure out of it, where most guys get blocked. It's like, okay, I'll start jumping up and down in the throwing lane, or I'm done for this one. That guy, there's still something to happen after that motor starts back up faster than anything I have ever seen. He is truly a physical freak of talent.
Yes. Joe, he got triple teamed on at least one play that I noticed last night. He was being held by Laremy Tunsil after the play. Tunsil had his hand under the shoulder pad and had it there, holding him after the play. And there was a play where he got a sack in the second half where Josh Connerly Jr., the rookie right tackle, was flagged for holding. That should have been attempted holding. Right. Because what Josh Connerly did not impede Micah Parsons at all.
Yeah, no, it's whatever it is, he seems happy being there. It's just, it's been a good fit so far. Hey, speaking of that, we got Eagles at the Chiefs. It's hard to imagine the Chiefs going 0-2 as part of that story. And the second part is the Eagles, no matter what they think, no matter how good Saquon Barkley is and Jalen Hurts and the leaders and all the nice things being said, if they don't get A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith involved in that offense, they will have problems even if they win 14 or 15 games.
Well, that's the thing. A.J. Brown, after one game where he got his first target after the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter, and it was a key play. Nick Sirianni talked about this the other day. Well, you know, it was a second down play. It was second and 11. He gained 8 yards. He set us up to make a key third down that was the thing that allowed us to end the game and run out the clock, and that was a big contribution, and he was a good teammate. That's fine for 1 week.
Yeah.
2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you lose a game along the way and A.J. Brown's not involved, you're going to have a problem, because great receivers want to be involved. But look, I know both teams have changed since Super Bowl 59, but I went back and looked at the breakdown, play-by-play, score-by-score, because we see 40-22 as the final score of the game, and that enters the record books. Is, you know, there was a time when I knew the final score of every Super Bowl. It's kind of become a blur for me in recent years, but 40-22 is the permanent record for that game. It wasn't that close.
No.
Joe, it was 40-6 in garbage time. Mm. And the Chiefs picked up a couple of cheap touchdowns to make it look somewhat respectable. The Eagles destroyed them, dismantled them in the Super Bowl. And now, week two, home opener, after playing a game in Brazil and losing the kind of game that the Chiefs always win, they have to come back and face the Eagles again. And yeah, they could be starting off 0-2. And hey, wow. one of those teams ahead of them in the AFC West, either the Chargers or the Raiders, is guaranteed to be 2-0, barring a tie, because they're both 1-0 and they play each other on Monday night.
Amazing. Just incredible. I got to get you with this one too. Steelers and Jets. What a great game. I mean, that thing ended up being one hell of a game. Jets looked great offensively, and Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if his wife was able to make it to the game or not, but I got to tell you, he played really well. Anyway, I had to get that in.
If you had shown me the list of all the games of last week and you had said one of these games is going to have a final score of 34-32, the last game I would have picked to be that high scoring was Steelers-Jets. And while it was good that Aaron Rodgers had 4 touchdowns, no picks, 28th time in his career, matching Tom Brady for the all-time record for that kind of a day, he still needed a 60-yard field goal from Chris Boswell to avoid going 0-1. I don't know what folks in Pittsburgh would have thought to have Aaron Rodgers have such a great performance and to lose to the Jets. Look at the schedule this year for the Steelers, 2 against the Ravens, 2 against the Bengals. They've got the Bills. They've got 8 games that you look at and say, I don't know about those. Yeah. And if they would have lost to the Jets, man, it would have been just a weird, like, hey, we got a guy who can play quarterback, but our defense stinks. Our running game stinks. They got a lot of work to do to get on the right track. I think they will on Sunday against the Seahawks. These first 3 games for the Steelers, it goes Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, and then they go to Ireland to play the Vikings. Those first 3 games, they've got to win because they've got some tough games coming up.
Before I let you go, all right, now that you've seen the Dolphins in one game, do they bounce back in week 2 to take care of the Patriots?
Well, they have to. I picked them to win. They have to. This is exactly what they need to get on the right track, and we'll find out. We'll find out how the players really feel. We'll find out if any of that talk is backed up by something tangible. And I had that criticism earlier in the week that the Dolphins are this team that just always talks and talks and talks about how things are going to change. I said that they're the guy that says, I'm going to go to the gym every day starting tomorrow, and they never go. Right? We want to see something to match the talk. And
yes,
there was plenty of talk this week. Let's see what they can do at home against the Patriots. They've done well against the Patriots, 8-2 this decade, 7 out of 8 at home, as I said earlier. But they've had trouble with Mike Vrabel. So we'll see what Mike Vrabel has cooked up for the Dolphins. But if they don't win this one, Joe, man, you got to start looking at the schedule to see at what point the Joe Philbin plan gets activated and there's an interim head coach for the rest of the year. And I know that sounds harsh, and I know it's a big deal for a coach to get fired, but there's 25% turnover in the entire league every year. That's how it goes. That's one of the reasons they pay head coaches a lot of money, because you step into this job that you know can end at any time. And how could Stephen Ross not already be thinking, do I have to make a change at some point this season?
I don't think you're crazy. I think everybody's thinking the same thing, how important these next few weeks are for those guys, that both the head coach and GM, to keep their job. Hey, Mike, thank you. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
See you, Joe.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us. Hey, we got more stuff to get to when we come back here. We'll check in on, speaking of, a couple of teasers right there that Mike Florio was talking about. We got some games to get to, and a little bit of news as well on the defensive side for the Miami Dolphins. This thing's just going to get younger, man. Going to see a lot of rookies playing this week against the Patriots. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. All right, Woody, here we go, man. National Football League games. A couple of games, Florida at LSU and Texas A&M and Notre Dame, too. Giddy up.
We'll get your picks on the college games.
Okay.
We can do that. You want to start NFL?
I want you to start wherever you want to start.
Well, I'm ready with the NFL stuff for you here, Joe.
Let's do it.
Let's start with the 1 o'clock window. Bengals hosting the Jaguars. This is an interesting game, by the way. The Bengals were not great in week 1. Cincinnati favored by 3.5 here at home.
Yeah, like,
hang on before you pick. What was he? 9-6? 9-6 you went in week number 1.
Yeah.
So people are very wealthy right now if they rode you week 1.
Riding
the big horse.
Ride with the doggy. Yep. And you're in good shape. Thank you.
All right.
Saying that.
Please go ahead with your pick.
Cincinnati is going to score a ton of points.
Are they?
I'm not sure about Cincinnati's
like
defense.
17 points last week?
Oh, they're going to score a bunch. That just took the first week. They're a little rusty. Now they're ready.
Okay. Cowboys and Giants. Dallas favored by 5.5. The game is in Arlington. Both teams obviously 0-1 at this point.
Cowboys get their first win.
Spread?
5.5
taking Dallas. Okay.
Yeah.
Lions and Bears from Detroit. Lions put up a stinker in week one. I saw Dan Campbell said this is a must win. Detroit's favored by 6.5. Gotta think they bounce back, right?
Yes. And by the way, you know one thing about Dan Campbell, if he got a chance to send a little extra message, even if it happens to be your former coordinator, he's going to do it.
Yeah, I would.
One way to do it, a Dan Campbell way.
All right, the Titans hosting the Rams. L.A. is favored by 5.5 on the road here.
Rams big.
Okay. Fair enough. Saints and 49ers. San Francisco favored by 3.5. This game is in New Orleans. No Brock Purdy, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
I think the Mac Jones, right? Mac Jones era begins.
I'm going to go Saints.
Really? Wow. All right. Jets and Bills from New Jersey. Buffalo favored by 6.5.
I'll take the Bills, but man.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I'm taking the Bills.
They're spread there on the road.
I know. You're right.
Steelers and Seahawks from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh favored by 3.5 points.
I'm going to go Steelers. Yeah. At home.
Riding Aaron Rodgers, huh?
Yeah, riding the Golden Bear.
All right. Your last 1 o'clock game. This one seems relatively easy. Ravens hosting the Browns. Baltimore favored by 11.5.
11.5?
Well, that game is blowout written.
Oh, I know. Oh, man.
Take the Browns if you want.
Oh, that 11.5. Nobody said this gambling stuff's easy, man. I'm going to go Ravens. All right, I'll take the Ravens. Ravens going to score a lot of points.
I don't like your confidence in that.
No, I didn't sound real confident.
All right, Colts hosting the Broncos, 405. Denver favored by 1.5.
What a game. I'm going to go Broncos.
Me too. I like Denver big in that game.
And this is after I just saw the Colts. I can't imagine they look any better.
Cardinals and Panthers, Arizona favored by 6.5, game from Glendale.
I'm going to take the Cardinals big.
Okay. 425, Super Bowl, Eagles and Chiefs from Kansas City. Philly favored by 1.5.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
I'm with you, man.
Taking Eagles, and I think they try to get those two guys that they're paying about, $60 million between them on the outside, get them the ball a little bit.
Okay, and then your night game, Vikings and Falcons for Minnesota. Minnesota favored by 3.5.
Yeah, Vikings. Vikings don't have to wait till the fourth quarter to get this one done. It happens earlier.
All right, let's do some college games here, Joe. This is a really interesting game. Number 12, Clemson going on the road to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech.
Oh!
Clemson is favored by a mere 2.5 points in this game.
Yeah, what happened?
Are they going to lose? Are they going to lose outright here? That line is screaming. They think Georgia Tech's going to win that game.
Yes. I'm going to go with Georgia Tech.
Clemson would be 1-2.
I'm going to go with Georgia Tech because of what Georgia Tech has done to her games.
Yeah. That line is screaming Georgia Tech outright. All right. Let's see here. What else do we have that looks interesting? Number 19, Alabama and Wisconsin from Tuscaloosa noon. Alabama is favored by 20.5 points.
Are they really?
Yes.
Wisconsin's not very good, though.
I know, but is Alabama's going to beat a Big Ten team by 3 touchdowns?
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know that Alabama can put up 21.
I don't either.
Whatever. Let's see here, Joe. We got SEC ranked game between number 15, Tennessee, and number 6, Georgia from Knoxville. Georgia favored by 3.5 points.
Yeah, I'm going Georgia.
All right. Fair enough there. We have number 17, Ole Miss, hosting Arkansas. Ole Miss favored by 6.5 points.
Ole Miss.
Number 3, LSU, hosts Florida. LSU favored by 7.5. Don't look at him.
I want to know where he's going. Joe, what do you got?
I'm going to go with LSU.
Hell yeah, you are.
You're going to be eating your words.
We'll see.
Jamie, and I was wondering why you asked for my home phone number. Now I know why. You want to make sure. He asked for my wife's number. He said, I'm going to track you down, bitch.
All right. He doesn't talk, though. Come on.
I know. It's not all right. Good.
Number 8, Notre Dame. And number 16, Texas A&M from Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
Favored by 6.5 points.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
All right. And ready to get to our games here, Joe?
The
final game.
Go ahead.
Number 5, Miami. Number 18, South Florida. 4:30 from Hard Rock Stadium. The Miami Hurricanes favored by 17.5 points at the moment.
I'm going to go with South Florida in 17.5.
You're taking the points. You're not taking the money line. Taking the points.
Taking the points.
Okay. I'm with you, by the way. I think they lose, but I think.
Hey, I got no problem.
14 is.
I got no problem. Double digit win, any kind. Anything double digit is like, okay.
He won by one. What's the difference?
I know that too, but yeah, we don't need that'll bring out like, oh, look at this.
I don't know. Who cares?
You want to get comfortable. You want to get comfortable, a little bit comfortable. Two score game in the fourth is nice. Okay.
Well, I mean, anything to beat the traffic. We got Dolphins and Patriots. 1 o'clock Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. Quick turnaround there. They have to paint that field up quick.
I got news for you. I'm going to take the Dolphins. But it was point and a half. They're
surprised to hear you say that.
No.
I'm shocked.
No.
They're favored by point and a half.
Do you think New England's going to win? With the problems they have, they're not a perfect team either.
Man.
Wow. Yeah, think about it. All right.
No, I mean, I know, but like, I know which way you're going, but.
Don't go by me.
I mean, the Dolphins, it's a must win. They have to win this game.
I don't care about all that. Just tell me what's going to happen. I agree with all that. So
I don't think the Dolphins can win, but.
All right. So you think they lose?
I do.
All right. Wow.
I hate to say it, man, but.
You don't have to feel like that. It's just a sporting event.
I really do feel terrible doing it, but.
Most Dolphin fans don't like you already. I've already talked to them. So, no, I'm just joking. Fine. But, no, it's
did you
fine.
See? Did you see this was like a week or two? I think it was last week. This kid that wrote for like the Missouri student paper picked against Missouri. And not only did the head coach, but another player called him out in the press conference after the game.
Yeah.
Because they won and they were like, you picked against us. And
yeah,
they ripped them pretty good.
Yep. I think a lot of people who are Dolphin fans probably think they're a little concerned. I don't think you're alone that they can't win this game.
To be point and a half favorites at home.
No, exactly.
That's a shaky line right there.
That's almost an even when you go on the road and you're only a point and a half. I agree. Good point.
If I could pick them to tie, I guess that would be, which you can, by the way, you can bet a tie.
I ain't working.
Like here, like let's break it down real quick. We have like 2 minutes left. How do the Dolphins win this game based on what you saw in week one?
So starting.
Like, help me out. You picked the Dolphins to win this. Help me. Like,
I am going to help you. First of all, defensively, they get after him and he gets sacked a bunch. That's number one.
Which they did not do well in week one.
No, they got zero. But I don't think the Colts and the offensive line for the Patriots have anything in common. Let me give you the other one, though. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith just had 9 plays of 20-plus yards. Geno Smith is a good quarterback. I like Geno. Miramar High School, he's one of our guys. We got to get that thing going. Crossing routes. I don't want to hear any excuses. I don't know if you're going to run the ball or not. I'd like to think you can run it in the heat and stuff. I think you just wear them down and get some guys going offensively, especially, I'm going to say it every week, you're paying them $60 million between the two of them. You got to get Waddle and Tyreek, whether they're waving themselves in or out, when they're in, they need to get some production. And there you have it.
I'm with you 1,000%, but the problem is Tyreek hasn't, you know, that 1 year since he's had 30-yard catch.
So I got another one. He breaks that this week.
Okay.
I didn't even think of it, but like if there's ever been a friggin' time to get rid of that stat.
He's due is what you're saying.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You just think somebody will fall down in front of him or behind him where he can catch it and run. And you go, we got it. We got a 30-yard play.
That's what we need. We need the old turf monster to swallow someone up.
I see guys falling down or bouncing or a guy takes a bad angle or.
No, maybe the Canes and Bulls will chew up the field and it'll be falling all over the place.
Don't say that. Then we'll have a bunch of whining going on. We don't want that.
They have good grass over there. I don't think we have to worry.
Yeah, don't do that.
Good stuff, though. I hope we come in on Monday and you're right, man. I really do.
I'm coming in here Monday morning, and I'm going to go, hallelujah, we got a couple of wins at Hard Rock Stadium. That's what we're going to talk about. Oh, we have a good week in NFL. I enjoy the games, man. I do. I enjoy getting home for 1 o'clock game, getting to watch the second half of the 4 o'clock games, and catch me a little Sunday night before I fall asleep. That's a good day. That's a good day. Hey, Woody, to everybody out there and my own guys, have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you again on Monday morning.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly, you know what, why it's outside not, of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.